And I want to begin to read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. If you happen to be saved, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Looking for Jesus to come, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe he's coming. Amen. And you need to be ready. Need to be ready. I'm glad to be ready. Amen. I'm going to a better country. Thank God for that. 1 John chapter 4, I look in verse 1 in the Bible. It said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." What a great promise right there. "They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not, heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you again and that for the wonderful mercy and the grace that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the touch of God that comes through on our life, and Lord, for the help that you give us. And Lord, we ask this morning that you just help the one that might be here that is lost and undone without you, that don't know you. And God, we ask this morning that you'd save them. Pray they'd come and that to a place of repentance, God, to get saved today. Lord, we ask and pray that we could see from the message, each of us, what you'd have us to see. God, I pray that we could see your love today in this message. Lord, I pray that you would stir us and help us, and that while we might preach this morning, God, we believe this is the message for the hour. God, we need you to come by in that touch for just a little while. Help the one that might be cold and indifferent on you. And Lord, we're going to give you the glory for it all and thank you for all that you've done, for shedding your blood yonder at Calvary to where we might be saved. Help somebody now. We love you. Help us now while we preach. Touch us, anoint us afresh. For these things in Jesus' name do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. As you look in 1 John chapter 4, as in verses 1 through 6, we find in that the trying of the Spirit. Now, the Bible said right here that try the Spirit because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And he says, "And hereby know ye the Spirit of God." And so I think saved folk ought to be able in that to discern between the spirit of the world, the spirit of the devil, spirit of the Antichrist, and that the Spirit of God. Ought to have some discernment in our life. And there's some evidence to that thing. He said to try and that the spirits. And so there's going to be some things that we can try. And he said right here, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come to flesh is not of God. That was always the argument about who Christ was. Was he truly and that the Son of God? Was he truly in that who that he said that he was? And I'm glad that he was, amen, and that he came and died for you and me. And so we find the evidence in that of the Spirit of God, and that through verses 1 through 6. But then we look in verses 7 through 11, and here's what we want to preach on. And listen, we preached on the love of God, I believe it was back in February of this year, out of this scripture. But I want to preach, having a message this morning on the evidence of love. I can tell you that I love you, but there'll be some evidence. Amen. If I truly do. Amen. At least I can tell my wife that I love her. We've been married for
23 years, like I said today, and obviously she believes that I love her. It's been more than just me telling her over 23 years that I love her, but I've showed her over that time that I do. Let me say today that I believe that the Lord loves us. Amen. And I believe He showed it to us over these years. Now, 37 times we find the word love just mentioned alone in the book of 1 John itself. And let me say today that there is a doctrine. You've heard me mention this doctrine. By the way, I probably won't tell you nothing that you don't already know or heard me preach before. But there's been a doctrine for 10 or 15 years, going on maybe a little longer than that, that says that God don't love sinners. Hey, friend, I believe that I can take my Bible and prove with the evidence of the Bible alone that God loves sinners. Amen. Me and you are living proof, if you're saved, that God loves sinners today. And I believe that He truly does. And we're going to look at that on the evidence of love. Let me say today, quickly by way of introduction, that if God didn't love sinners, He'd have never came. Luke chapter 19, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We've seen in the book of Romans chapter 5 in Sunday school today, the Apostle Paul said, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Hey, I'm glad that He loved me and was willing to come. I understand the judgment of God. I understand that God, according to Psalms chapter 7 and verse 11, I believe it is, that God is angry and that with the wicked every day. I also know that the wrath of God and that abides upon those that are lost. But I want you to know something today, that Jesus loves the sinner and wants to save them, and that out of His wrath. Amen. And so I want to preach today for just a little while on the evidence of love. We'll look at three things and go home. Number one, can I say, first of all, the evidence of God's love. Look in verse 9. In this, well, look in verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. Ain't you glad today God is love? Now, I understand His judgment. I understand all those things. And those days are coming. I understand that. But hey, I'm telling you right now, while you're living and moving and breathing, you I can experience God's love in your heart. Amen. Hey, the Bible went to say in verse 9, in this was manifested. You know what that word manifested means? It means to be brought to light. It means to show, to reveal. It said in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and here it is again, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Can I tell you today, and that the evidence, first of all, of God's love toward us is that He sent His Son. Amen. So we can be saved. Hey, I don't think that you can show any greater love, listen, than what God did. He loved His Son. Listen, the Bible said in John chapter 3, though, He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Hey, I don't see how that you can know that God loves you today. I want you to think for just a minute about how much God loved the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet He was willing to send Him for me and you. I want you to take your Bible quickly and go to the book of Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, as we find a parable over there, it talks about one that had a vineyard. And he let out that vineyard in Luke chapter 20. And we find, and he's talking about, and that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's talking about the nation of Israel on the truth of things. For the actual doctrinal text of this scripture, look in Luke chapter 20 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Then began he to speak to the people in this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and let it forth to husbandmen, and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandman beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent another servant, and they beat him also and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be that they will reverence him when they see him." But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours." So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. And what therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, "God forbid." And he, now what is he talking about? The doctrinal scripture here, I believe in that, has to do, and that with the nation of Israel and the rejection and that of God Almighty. Lisa knows that he talked about sending at different seasons was the prophets. That was sin and that to require in that of the nation of Israel. But at one time there at the end, he finally sent his beloved son in whom they throwed out and they killed. And so the Bible went on to say in verse 17, "And he beheld them and said, What is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him into powder." Listen, as Jesus and that was referring to himself in verse 17, that stone that the builders rejected when they built the temple over there, there was no hewing, there was no work to be done over there in the temple valley where it's being built at, or the temple mount where it's being built at. All that was hewn away from that side. And so when they broke them rock in, if they wasn't going to work on it there, they'd rejected. And here we find that Christ Jesus was the stone that was rejected. And can I tell you today, it's the same way. It's the same way. He's came, and you know what? God the Father sent him knowing what was going to happen. Now think about how much he loved the world knowing what was going to happen to Christ Jesus when he came. Think about that for just a second. Hey, it'd be one thing for you to send your son to come and save folk if you know that he was going to be well received and be well taken and that everything would be okay. But listen, when he sent Christ Jesus the Lord and that to this earth and that let him leave heaven, listen, he knew what was going to take place when he came. I'm talking about the evidence that God loved you, that God still loves you. He let Jesus and that leave the glories of heaven knowing that he was going to have to face Calvary for me and you. I don't understand that today, knowing all that he would go through, but he was willing to send him to die for us. Ain't that something today? What do we see in Romans chapter 5? I believe it was, as Brother Bob read in Sunday school this morning, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." But listen, God the Father, I sent God the Son and that to die for just old low-down sinners.
Amen.
Like me and you. Think about what God got when he got you. Mm-hmm. He didn't get nothing, did he? Well, he just got an old sinner that just needed to get saved. And listen, God sent his son and that to die for sinners. Again, I don't understand that. I can't grasp that. But imagine the love that he has and that for sinners today, that he would send them so that they might be saved. You look back in the text scripture in 1 John chapter 4 and look in verse 10. He said, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sin. You know what that word propitiation means? It means to appease the wrath of. And so herein is love. Hey, God was angry with us.
Amen.
God was mad at us. But yet in his love, he sent his son to appease his own wrath.
Yes, hallelujah.
I don't understand that. I can't grasp that today, and it's hard for me to get a hold of how that God would love us enough to send His very Son to let Him leave heaven, to let Him leave the fellowship, and that in the warmth of the Father, how He would let Him leave knowing what He was going to have to do. What love. What love. I always think about, when I think about the love of God, I always think about that place called Calvary over there. And I got to reading about that place over there last night, and where the Temple Mount is, over there was where David had numbered the children of Israel. And I got so excited when after I read this last night, I had to go turn and tell my wife about this. And, I'd never seen this before. And, that same place where, you remember David had numbered the children of Israel, and for his sin, people had to die. Remember, God sent him, and that three different choices, and he said, let me fall into the hand, and that of the mercies of God, because God be merciful to me. And I believe it was for 3 days that angel stood out there and killed all them people out of the nation of Israel. And that for David's sin. But the Bible said that when that angel got over there to Ornan the Jebusite's threshing floor, that he stopped. And right there is where David saw that angel standing with that sword in his hand. And he said, right here is the place that we're going to build the temple. Now, I got to studying on that thing last night, and boy, I tell you, I got excited. Now listen, do you realize right there is where the place is where judgment stopped at? Now think about that for just a second. That threshing floor over there, I mean, hey, that angel was wiping them all out. And all of a sudden God said, when he got over there to that threshing floor, to that one spot, he said, enough's enough. Do you realize that the same place where they hung Jesus up at was just right there on the same mount? And at Calvary God said, enough is enough. Boy, I tell you, when I got to studying on that and seeing that, I about got excited sitting in my study. Hey, I'm telling you right now, hey, God sent him out because he loved us. Amen. I can't say that enough this morning. Amen, that he loved us. Number one, the evidence of God's love, he sent his son to die for us. Number two, the evidence Jesus' love for us is that he came willing to die. It's going to be a simple message, by the way. Hey, listen, if Jesus didn't love sinners, he'd have never come. Listen, in 1 John chapter 3, you can back up to verse 16. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He said, we perceive, we see the evidence, we know the truth, and that of the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. By the way, Jesus was God in the flesh, wasn't he? Amen. I believe it was John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hey, Jesus was God.
Yeah.
And so we find that God's evidence of love was to send his Son. And Jesus' evidence and that of love was for sinners is that he came and gave himself. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Hey, listen, people talk about, well, you know, that was in the past tense. It talks about how that God loved sinners. Now, I've had folk tell me that. I mean, there's been tracts wrote on that. Smile, God loves you, and you opened up the biggest lie ever told. That's the biggest lie ever told was in that track right there. Hey, and this goes out on the radio. I don't care if you like me or not. Amen. I don't care. I believe that God loves sinners.
Amen.
And I believe that Jesus loved sinners so much that he was willing to die for them. And hey, if you subscribe to the fact that God don't love sinners and Jesus don't love sinners, I feel sorry for you today. Amen. I've never been off on that doctrine that he didn't love sinners.
Come on.
He loves me. Thank God for that. But listen, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You're going to tell me that even though that, listen, when Paul talked about in Galatians 2 and 20, that he loved me and gave himself for me, that he didn't love the Apostle Paul no more? Well, sure he did. Well, I'll tell you, if there was ever anybody that probably was hard to love, I believe it was Saul of Tarsus, wasn't it? Huh? Amen. Boy, here he was. He had done, he was out there consenting to the death of Stephen. They stoned Stephen to death. He had papers from the Sanhedrin. He was going to go down to Damascus and bring all the church back, persecute them, kill them, and do all kinds of things. But on the way down there, something happened to him. Why God loved him. And boy, I tell you, Jesus rolled back heaven to get his attention, didn't he? Huh? But it was at Calvary that Jesus showed the evidence of his love. He came to this place. Now, I tell you what spawned this message in my heart. I got to thinking about the compassion that he has for us. I really just got to thinking about the compassion that Jesus has. Now think just for a second what the word compassion, what it means. It means to suffer with another. You know what that means? To put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Compassion. And I'll take your Bible and look in Luke 10. I love that word compassion because you can't have compassion without love.
Amen.
You just can't do it. And now the world can have compassion. I understand that. But if you're looking in Luke chapter 10, I want you to look in verse 25. Luke 10 verse 25. Very familiar scripture right here. Talking about the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Well, you ask the Lord a question, chances are you're going to get an answer. Amen. And so Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. We stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, now I've got that underlined in my Bible, the priest saw the situation that he was in. Bible said he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came, and look what your Bible said, and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So we see that religion did not make a difference in this fellow's life, did it? A religion wouldn't do it. These two men right here were some folk that was supposed to know something, and that of the mercy and love of God, but yet when they seen him laying in the ditch, they walked by on the other side and had nothing to do with him. But a certain shame on us, amen. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where, now you remember that the Jews don't like Samaritans,
amen,
because they're half-breeds. Amen. Again, shame on us. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now look what your Bible says. And when he saw him, does it say that he walked by on the other side? Does it say that he looked away from him? He said, well, no. It said he had compassion on him. But I tell you, when that Samaritan come riding up or walking up. He had a beast with him, so I guess he was riding. And when he rode up and he seen that feller laying in the ditch, the Bible said that he looked at him and he had compassion on him. You know what he'd done? He looked at him and he said, if I was in his position, what would I want somebody to do for me? I think Jesus done the same thing. I believe he saw us. And he had compassion on us. And he said in his heart, hey, if I was like them people down there, what would I want somebody to do for me? He had compassion. I'm glad the Lord Jesus had compassion on us. He came and gave himself for us. I want you to read on with me. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, I'm glad the Lord takes care of us. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Boy, I'm glad he's given us the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit bound us up. Took care of us. He still got us. And you know what it said? When I come again, I will repay thee. Hey, I'm glad he's coming again. Amen. Bible said in Ephesians 1 that the Holy Spirit is the earnest. Amen. Which was given for us. Verse 36. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves. Look at verse 37. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. I believe this old boy couldn't even say that Samaritan over there. He just had to say the one that showed mercy. And then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Hey, listen, I believe Jesus looked down and seen our sorry shape as being sinners. And in his perfection, he came for us. He had compassion. He knew, listen, Jesus knew all along. Before creation. If you go back and look in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 through 20, I believe it is, how we find that Jesus knew already. How do you know? For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition, from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, there it is again, brought to light, manifest in these last times for you. He was what? He was foreordained before the foundation of the world to be the Lamb of God that was going to shed his blood in love for sinners. Amen. Jesus came because he loved sinners. And was willing to die for us. John chapter 15 said, greater love hath no man than this, and that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus showed his ultimate love, the ultimate love in the whole world. We get a misconception. As I studied this thing, I thought about the misconception that is Baptist and independent Baptist that we have. And what I mean by that, is we think Jesus came to condemn the world. Now the way we live, a lot of, I believe in holy living and righteous living. I believe in separation out of this world. But I'm telling you right now, hey, they can be separated out of the world and try to live righteously and holy, but until they get saved, it ain't going to make a difference in their life. I want you to understand something. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the Bible said in John chapter 3 and verse 17, for God sent not his Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know why Jesus came? Sinners was condemned to die and go to hell. That old boy, if that Samaritan didn't help that boy land in the ditch, he was going to die in the shape that he was in.
Yep.
Do you know what he done? Had compassion on him.
Amen.
Didn't he? Came to where he was. That old boy couldn't get out of the ditch and get to where the Samaritan was. He went to, that's why Jesus came, and that from heaven. We couldn't get out of the ditch. We couldn't get ourselves to heaven. We couldn't attain in that to the righteousness and the goodness of God. That's why he came and was manifested in the flesh, because he came to us. Amen.
Thank God.
Thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad he loves sinners. I'm glad he loves sinners. But we think, we get a misconception sometimes that we want folk to get better before they get saved. We want them to quit drinking. Want them to quit cussing. Want them to quit fornicating. Want them to dress right. Want them to talk right. Want their family right. Hey, only Jesus can do those things.
Boy, that's good. Come on.
In Luke chapter 5. Bible said, here the Lord is, he's called Levi. In verse 28, and he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came for sinners. Came for sinners. He got out there in John chapter 4, and the Bible said that he must needs go through Samaria.
Right.
And got over there to Jacob's well and sat down.
Yeah.
Sat down, John 4. Oh. And he got to talking to that woman. He was tarred, by the way. You know, the Lord Jesus did get tarred. You know why? He's a man. He was a man in the flesh. And he got to talking to that woman at the well. And, you know, she first said, art thou greater than our father Jacob that gave us this well? And she recognized that Jesus was a man. And then she got over there. After he got to talking to her about that water, that she didn't have to draw, that she'd never thirst again if she took of that living water. And she said, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. So she's went from perceiving him as a man to perceiving him as a prophet. And boy, it wasn't too long after he got to talking about how many times she'd been married, had five husbands, was shacking up with another man, and by the time got down there to the end of it, told her, true worshipers worship, in Jerusalem. You worship what you know not what. But he said, there's coming a time when they that worship God must worship in spirit and truth. And by the time he got done talking to her, she had perceived him to be the Christ.
Amen.
What's that got to do with anything? Here stands a woman that's probably been ostracized. She's been married five times. She's shacking up with a man right here. And the Bible said that Jesus must needs go through Samaria.
Right.
Why? Love sinners.
Yeah.
Wanted to do something for that woman.
Amen.
At the well. John chapter 8, there was a woman brought to him caught in very act of adultery. They said, Moses said in the law, that sure to be stoned, but what sayest thou?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he that is without sin cast the first stone. And so from the greatest, from the eldest to the least, they dropped their stones and walked away. And he said, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, I have none, Lord. Then he said, neither do I, what, condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Amen.
Hey, it's not Christ Jesus the Lord that condemns us. It's our sin. The very fact of us being sinners that brings condemnation upon our lives. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Amen. Thank God for that this morning. We all ought to be shouting today. Brother Steve made mention of Nicodemus during Sunday school. Nicodemus was a good man. He was a religious man, but he was a lost man.
Amen.
And that may be where you fit in at today. And the evidence is that Jesus still wants to save you.
Amen.
He came to save sinners. Amen. How do you know? 1 Timothy 1. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. You tell me God don't love sinners and Jesus don't love sinners, I'll call you a liar. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't care if you like me or not. I really don't.
Amen.
But hey, if Jesus didn't love sinners, why did he leave the portals of glory to come down here and die? I've never understood that doctrine. I about get mad when I think about that thing. Amen. About get mad. Ain't you glad he showed his love to us one day? Boy, he showed his love to me one day. I tell you, you look at these young'uns sometimes, and all these young'uns in here, I look at them and I know their love so much.
Oh, yeah.
I do. I watch you moms and dads with them, and I know you love them. And most of you post pictures. You know, the only social media that me or my wife, either one is on, is Instagram. And I look at them, and if you don't want us to see it, you better not put it on Instagram. Amen. Let me say that. My wife, she's on it. I ain't on it. She's on it. But she shows me them pictures. But you know, one thing that I see a lot of times with that is how much you moms and dads and mamas and papas love them young'uns. You do stuff with them and go places with them. But I think about them young'uns from time to time that don't have the love that these young'uns around here's got. Huh? Well, mom and dad really don't care for them. They're more of a burden than they are a blessing to them. And they don't spend no time with them. And boy, I tell you, I get to the place to where my heart goes out when I see that stuff. And I know yours does too. And boy, all you want to do is have compassion on them. Spend a little time with them. And you just want to hug them up and tell them that you love them. And boy, ain't you glad one day that the Lord looked down and seen you just, for lack of better words, is that old snotty-nosed kid that had dirt all over their face and might have been barefooted and nobody loved them. But boy, one day he just come down and hugged up on us. I told us how much he loved us. Huh? Huh? Boy, ain't you glad he done that? Oh, my. I know what I was. Boy, sorry and low down. But boy, he come to where I was. The evidence of Jesus' love toward us is that he gave himself. We go back here and I believe that we find that it tells us at one point that he gave himself so that we might be saved. Thank God for that. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. Number three, and last of all, boy, time has got away. Boy, you get to talking about the love of God, and I only feel like I've done this thing justice this morning. But you know, there's evidence of God's love toward us. And we can talk about his love toward the saved, too. I ain't got enough time. Jesus' love toward the saved, but I'm glad he loves me. Amen. I'm glad he loves me. He blesses me. Takes care of me, loves me enough to chasten me when I do wrong. Ain't that something? Amen. Hey, can I tell you this morning, moms and dads, you don't love your children if you don't correct them.
Amen.
Amen. You need to correct your children now. But number three, and last of all, the evidence of God and Jesus' love in us. You know, when we got saved, we was made a new creature, wasn't we? But can I tell you this? There is evidence of his love residing in us. Go back and look. I believe it is. Let me see if I can find it in the book of John chapter 13. He said this, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. I was riding down the road the other day. And right now we're living in a generation and a time in our nation where somebody's owed something from somebody else. You know, folks wanting us to owe for slavery that ended back in the 1800s. Hey, I've never enslaved anybody. I hate it that it happened. I really do. I don't make light of it. Listen, I'm sorry that whole thing took place the way that it did. I can't pay for that. I can't undo what happened in history. I can't undo that. And I was riding down the road and I thought to myself, I don't owe nobody nothing. And I was about to get a little puffed up there, Brother Bud. And you know what? The Holy Spirit of God, he said, oh yeah, you do owe somebody something. He said in the book of Romans chapter 13, he said, oh, no man anything but to love one another. You know what I owe you, and you know what I owe this world out here? The love of the Lord. That's what I owe this morning. I owe to show, and that to love that has been shown to me and given to me, that I've been saved. Hey, I owe that love to you today. And you owe it to those that are around you. Ain't that something today? You go on down in Romans 13:10, just two verses later, he says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The evidence of God's love in us is that we have brotherly love one to another. 1 John chapter 4 goes on to say in the latter part, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment that we have from him, that he that loveth God love his brother also. How do we know that the love of God resides in us when we love one another and show that love? I got to think, man, wouldn't it be great one day if when we get to heaven that because of our love that we showed to somebody, they tell us, boy, I got to heaven because you showed us the love of Christ. Wouldn't that be something? When we keep His commandments, we know that His love abides in us. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. See, everybody wants to go around and just loving everybody and loving everything. Say, boy, I love you, I love you. And boy, that all sounds good. But I'm going to tell you what right now we do owe the world, and that to show them the love of God. But we owe God enough, and that to keep His commandments and love Him and heed that book right there. Maybe this is where I ought to start at today. You reckon? He said in John 14, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Do what the book says. Amen. I believe if we truly love it, if we love Him, and the love of God resides in us, then we'll tell others about Him. Jude chapter 1, only chapter in the book of Jude as I close. Verse 21, he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, there it is, that word compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There's evidence that God the Father loved us. There's evidence that Jesus loved us. Is there evidence? I didn't spend a lot of time, but is there evidence on the inside that the love of God resides in you? We seen the other day talking about charity, that love in action. How that it just covers a multitude of sins. You know what? You know what the love of God in your life will do? It'll cause you and allow you to forgive folk. Amen. You may not want to. Let me rephrase that. If you don't want to, there's probably something wrong. And there's been times that I've not wanted to forgive folk. But you know what? The love of God, and by the love of God, and through the love of God, will help you to forgive one another. He said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The love of God ought to reside. The evidence of the love of God, the proof, ought to be inside of you, and it ought to come out of you. Folk ought to know that you're saved. Amen. By the way, you know. Alright, let's bow our heads this morning. Brother Lewis, would you come to the piano this morning? And we'll just let you play. Let you play. But if you've never known, listen, while he's playing here in a minute, if you've never experienced the love of God, if you've never been saved, I want you to come this morning. Jesus loves you. I can't tell you how much Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you. Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you saved this morning, that the love of God resides inside of you? Listen, I want you to know that you're saved. I want you to know that. If you've never experienced that, today would be a wonderful day for you to get saved. Maybe you have experienced it. Maybe you do know about the love of God and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be residing in you today. It ought to be coming out of you. You ought to be showing it. Ought to be showing it, telling others about the love of the Lord. They're under condemnation, but because Jesus loves them, He'll save them today. Go ahead and start playing when you're ready there, Brother Lewis. If you need to come, won't you come this morning? If you need to come and pray, preacher, I'm just struggling with some things. Come on. The Lord wants to help you today. If